Proverbs 17:22 in the Bible, God has preserved, says, a merry heart is good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And I'd like just to consider the principle of God. This principle of God, as we look at the issue of virgin deficient Bible, so-called virgins, I'd like to thank you once again for the opportunity to speak to the GBS meeting. This is really the highlight of my year, amen. Once again, I'll admit to what every person here has heard me before already knows, or the rest of you will find out, in that great orchestra of intelligentsia which is in this room, I play Turkish Zoo. I have no new knowledge to offer. That I can get from you guys. What I have to offer, I've got to hold up my cylinder again. What I have to offer, that's a lot of stuff, too. What I have to offer is a slightly different perspective. You come from the halls of academia. I come from the halls of Allen Park Elementary School. But I do try to offer what I believe God has laid upon my heart and mind. At best, this is founded in a love for God, a study of His Word, and a prayer life that tries not to be too busy to listen. Unfortunately, at its worst, this can be found on a pepperoni pizza too late tonight. That's why what we're doing here is so important. Anytime we begin to listen to that voice we have deep within us, we're in danger of becoming spiritual ventriloquists, which is a word I've mangled, and talking to ourselves about our own desires. Or worse yet, it may cause us to listen to the siren call of Satan as he dupes us into stepping outside the revealed will of God. We see many religious movements in this world which are not founded upon the sure word of God, and these are movements invariably away from God rather than to a deeper understanding of Him. Every single one of them, even those that stick close to historical doctrines, they'll fall short of the neglect of the eternal word. We need to line up our hopes, wants, desires, plans, and most importantly, to the preachers, our preaching with the revealed word of God. That's why He gave it. Not so we can talk about it, but to live within and for it. Anything that doesn't line up with Scripture should be lined up and shot. Do away with it. Put it out of our misery. Do away with it. Put it out of our misery. That's why this is such an important complication. If we don't have the pure word of God and know that we have it, we cannot know whether we're in the will of God, out of the will of God, or even where it is that resides. God gave us this book so we wouldn't have that forever quandary. Just as importantly, He preserves His word so we can know that it's He who speaks to us, not the pepperoni pizza. In conclusion, I just keep your notes up. A certain young man was talking with his great-grandfather. And what a resource this old gentleman could have been for this kid. The old man's life stretched back to the beginnings of the 20th century. But instead of paying homage to the oldster's years of earned wisdom, the young man seemed more intent on shocking his great-grandfather. That's why the conversation moved thus to the health classes of the local high school. And as an aside, it was almost incomprehensible to schools which are so anxious to dispense knowledge about mental and physical health, they're going to put up a hoot and a holler if anyone dares to inquire about spiritual health. I guess we really can't expect the public schools to know that we don't need to fear Him who can kill the body. We need to fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Really, when you think of it, it's got to be so far away from me. Really, when you think about it, why should those public schools know anything about this? They've always told God that He is welcome in the middle of them. And make every effort possible, it seems, to defame and mock His holy name, along with theirs, those who hear of all of us. But I digress a little bit. The youngster came upon the subject of STDs, and most people know about themselves for work. I have to go to another slide on that, though. Look at how our basic vocabulary is being made an agent of social change. What, for instance, is all the hullabaloo we have about a rainforest? You know what a rainforest is? It's a jungle. It's a carpet of the rainforest. That's just what it is. That's simple. But as Rush Limbaugh, and by the way, where do we get off speaking of him? In churches. As near as I can tell, I like Rush, but as near as I can tell, Rush Limbaugh is a lost and profane person. The pop theology with borrowed from the current culture is one more example of a people, Christian people, even fundamentalist people, even fat fundamentalist people, who seek to find God without ever going to look at His book. You know, it's not surprising, of course. We've been told we can't trust His book. After all, we're told we don't even know if we finally got it right or not. It's been wrong for so long, how can we possibly know if we have the correct message God deemed as too unimportant to preserve? So we lay aside the blood-stained banner across the Calvary, pick up the beer, tobacco stain banner of partisan politics. Something wrong there. Jerry Falwell, no fundamentalist as far as I'm concerned. But it seems to me, at least, he preaches a pretty pure gospel message. Jerry, I can tell. But what's he known for? His political stand, his political views are his claim to fame. And that may be what's wrong. We don't need fame, we need shame. We need shame in our sin. We need shame in our lazy handling of the Word of God. We need shame in our lifestyle, which is not display the power and might of Jesus Christ. We need shame in the fact that our soul winning is so sporadic and shallow that most of us can remember the name of every single person who's ever led to Christ, and it don't take long to remember. Shame is the fact that we've allowed political pundits to replace powerful prophets of God in our speaking and preaching. Shame is the fact that we know no shame. Well, after saying all that, reasonable, I'm afraid, it's called environmentalist wackos. And I don't think we could or should use this term to describe those who worry about the physical conditions of the earth. I mean, God did give us this planet, He gave us charge to take care of it. But I think the phrase, in my way of thinking, could be given to those who care about the ecology of a nearly extinct mud flea, while they're completely uncaring about the souls of a lost and dying human race. We had a phrase in Fairnet Seminary, and probably most of you did too. It was a phrase of, look at you, because I wish it had been said about me, but it wasn't. The phrase was, he's so heavenly minded, he's so earthly good. Well, there are too many Christians who are so earthly minded, they do no good in the light of the heavens of eternity. We need less talk about the rainforest and more talk about the solitary tree in which Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, died so that he might offer salvation free and clear for those who would accept him. But these environmental wackos have discovered that the term rainforest conjures up some warm and fuzzy images towards which people will react. If they simply said jungle, most people would have been so touched. We're seeing a 1984 Orwellian-style weakening of our witness by the use of changes in our vocabulary. What's an STD? It stands for socially transmitted disease. Folks, quite plain and simply, it's the title for venereal disease in our newspeak. The worry is that we use the term venereal disease, it might have harmed little Johnny's psyche. You know, big deal. I'd rather have Johnny's psyche harmed, bruised a little, than his body wrecked with disease, some of which knows no cure. Words we play with. Women get mad at me whenever I ask a simple question, if it's all right to kill a child before he's born, because we feel like he might be of a nuisance to us, why not at 14 or 15 when we know what kind of trouble we're in? Choice. It's a misused word. Choice to do what? To kill a baby. We just had a murder trial back home. Big one. The man had killed a drug dealer. Why charge him? Why put him in jail? Why spend all the public money on a trial? He was only exercising his freedom of choice. And the man he killed was a reputed drug dealer. The victim was a defenseless innocent baby in his mother's womb. Yeah, I know it's not that simple. The murderer did deserve the sentence given him, but that phrase, public money, there ain't no such animal. It's all private money which has been confiscated by the government through taxes. It is. Since you hear the howl go up when people ask for vouchers so they can afford to send their own children to private schools, just like the politicians do, you'd think we were stealing bread from the starving. We're only asking to be allowed to purchase the product of our own choice with our own money. Is this the government which tells us we're unpatriotic unless we bought a Ford or a Chevy, whichever one was produced in the government-run factory? Yeah. I'll guarantee if the government did run an automobile factory, the product would be inferior to the one in the free market factory. That's why the teachers' unions and the governmentalists will berate the free choice of private education. There are good teachers. I didn't say that about the governmentalists. There are good teachers. They'll berate the free choice of private education because their own product is often so poor, they have to find laws to pass it, or nobody's using it. So much for the near sacred word choice. That word. We live in a time you can't even get medium fries at McDonald's. I tried. We got large, we got small, we got large, we got supersize. So what in the middle? That's medium. A man is no longer considered a homosexual, he's not called a gay. Now, I've known more than a few homosexual men, so I've been gay. Just as many, they're quite dour. Actually, I think the thing that bothers me most about homosexual men now, there are 2 seconds to find the unattractive. But, you know, of course, it's not considered impolite to refer to an African-American as a black. Argument determines non-descriptive. Some African Americans are black, some are brown, some are quite light in their complexion. So in polite conversation, we address the group as African American. Now, but I think about, would a Caucasian from Johannesburg, South Africa, if he came over here, be considered an African American? Just wondering. I really don't have a problem with the term. It's no big deal. To me, it's the same as Italian American, German American, Dutch American. I'm sure we can't just have Americans, really. I don't believe the motives of new morality ever want us to be able to put that to be together, though. They want us, their political base, or their power base for political social change, lies in being able to play one group off against another. But may I just note this? Is it not just as wrong to call a homosexual a gay as it is to call an African American a black? After all, some homosexuals are gay and happy, some are not. They're the same as the rest of mankind when you get down to it, beset with the trials and tribulations of everyday life. And they even have more problems due to their lifestyle choice. You know, the disease called AIDS was originally called GRIDS. So for preponderance among gay people. Instead of required immune deficiency syndrome, it was called the gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. And so sometimes they said, oops, we need to make another change in our language. Some people will argue the so-called gay, the homosexual lifestyle is a choice. They'll say, I'm just waiting to stop babies later. There's a gene that determines my preference. So I almost said sexual orientation. That's another word that's changed. To orientate something, it's a sentence that's proper and logical sentence. Like you take a map of the north, face north. Homosexuality, there ain't nothing proper and logical about it. It's the perversion of God's creation. There's no purpose served by it except to satisfy carnal lust. No other possible reason can be given for the bottle of black. Might not be polite, might not be popular, but that's right. God didn't give the disease to anyone. If there's a gene there, and I really believe there's a strong possibility there might be, it was put there not by God, but by Adam, who gave this gene through his willful sin. Not that Adam himself were homosexual, but his willful sin brought the deadly sin nature. Don't ever forget, sin brings consequence, deadly consequence, spirit-killing, hell-damning consequence. We do nothing in a vacuum. So instead of similarly teachers from this book, this book will teach you from sin. To be just as true, says that sin will teach you from witnessing the truth to a lost and dying world. Our sin will cause your witness to be unheeded. Our laugh about the cause are even worse. So getting back to this young lad, his great-grandfather, subject to STDs come up, and the old man sort of snorted as a youngster. Well, said the youngster, what did you wear back in your day to keep away from the disease? About so much as a minute thought, the old man up on his left hand, pointed out and said, what are you wearing? I like that. I'd like to talk today about the STD and those who are inclined to read and study from modern translations. They have serious STD problems, serious translation difficulties. Well, maybe I should use the term VD instead, virgin deficiency. After all, the NASB, for instance, is a good translation. It isn't a bad translation, it's a good translation of a bad text. It, along with the rest of these John Complexity versions, suffers from VD, virgin deficiency. By the way, what have I just done? I told a little 4 or 5 line joke. It takes about 3 seconds to tell. So why does it take so long? We're talking 14 minutes. It's just so long because I'm like a racehorse, and don't tell me about that stuff about a racehorse, okay? I'm not supposed to know anything about them. I'm like a racehorse that went out and ran all over the park. The race started, the horse ran a little on the track, and he jumped up, ran a little on the infield, and then back to the starting gate, and then looked at some people in the crowd, and then he went and finished the race. He finished last. He may have been fun to watch, but he spent so much time running around, he forgot what the race was being run. Now, I hope most of what I said was good. I tried to make it so. But the joke was the illustration and the purpose. Following my joke was like trying to find God's word in these modern translations. It's in there. Most of it is in there. But we keep getting sidetracked by the words of men. You can follow my joke, but you had to work a bit. The same with God's word in these modern perversions. You can find most of the words. You can find most of the doctrines, but you really have to work. How many of you know that Satan ain't dumb? I'm going to get in trouble with this, and we'll do it anyway. We tend to think that old Satan's a bit of a dummy. You know, just think he could overthrow God. You ever notice, by the way, a medium, when he wishes to create someone with a little short of a full charge of mental battery, will flip into a southern accent, or at least a bit of one that he can do? Why is that? Is it that Southerners are a little slow in the uptake? You know, what's the purpose? I believe the purpose is, really, and I'll be honest with you, that we stand in the Bible Belt when we stand in the South. This is another way, perhaps more than not conscience, of casting doubt upon the Scripture. After all, the foolish people reside in an area where the Bible is most popular. Well, that northerners don't have an accent where they copy. But Satan isn't dumb. He has a character flaw. His pride is so overconsuming as it caused him to stand up before God and say, I want your throne. So he's not dumb. He knows he can cause our mind to flow to other topics. We'll just pass over the words that God has for it. And by the way, I've not gotten away from the subject one more time. I sure have. Not to digress, but to explain. Why did I choose this subject to point out the difficulties of the false text? I could have easily used my focus to illustrate the same illustration. How many of you ever had to use the bifocals? A lot of fun, isn't it? Here are glasses used for making better the work of our eyes when they deceive us. So not the same be said as an inferior text. The promise to give the word of God to instruct and lead our physical spiritual life, yet they tend to deceive us. The text was already would appear by to follow a preconceived doctrinal and heretical basis, first by Origen, by Horton Westcott, and by look at how the early sin has had consequences out of this day, as the Lord cherishes has consequences for many more decades to come. Now, about bifocals. Remember the first time you were wearing bifocals came to a flight of stairs going down. We don't need Six Flags or any other amusement park. Teach you everybody a set of bifocals, set them on the third floor, jump around the first. Real chills and spills. It's like trying to find the words of God in the modern version. We know it's there. We've been told it's there. But finding it? Thankfully, the modern versions themselves won't even admit they have any of the words of God, which is one of the things they have Christ. They don't have the words of God. But while we're taking these versions of the Christian Bibles at their word, they don't have the word of God. Let's remember to take the true word of God as His word. The true word of God comes to us bought by the blood of martyrs. The true word of God is authenticated by the power and guarantee of the Lord God who made heaven and earth. And I trust it. And that means exactly nothing that I trust. It's the word of God that's trustworthy, whether it's that little old me trusted or not. God made it, so that's what's important. So why am I not using bifocals as an illustration, a main illustration? There are, after all, something from outside ourselves to correct a serious problem with our perceptions of what's real. It can easily be tied in with the death of Jesus Christ, our substitute. I prefer to use the DD illustration because it's much more deadly. And folks, spiritual death is lurking in the false text. Have you noticed there's little preaching? In fact, this was touched on today. You notice there's little preaching about hell in our time. Couldn't part of this be that the word has been removed from the Old Testament and the NIV? All the doctrines are in these modern versions, we're told. It's just you might have to work a little to find them. Since things are not on the bottom shelf, most people aren't going to get a step by Article 14th. Even as our vocabularies are being dumbed down and replaced with other words in many cases, so is our Christianity. Do you ever take puppies from a mother dog? And the mother dog grieves for a while, and the puppies grieve for a while. But after a few weeks, it seems they forgot about each other. Well, they did forget about each other. You put them back together a year from then, and they'll tear each other up. Dogs don't have language to conceptualize their experiences, so they forget what they're unable to recall. With our vocabularies being dumbed down in modern versions, we're in danger of losing grip on the true nature and reality of the spiritual world. Redemption? Too hard a word for modern man to use. Sanctification? Is that a free copy? This isn't a despise. This is the crux of the message. Whenever we begin to doubt what the words of God are, we begin to doubt the inerrancy of this book. When we look for the critic to give us the true word and look past the preserving power of God, we begin to say, yea, what in the world has God said? If inerrancy, to keep the word pure, is only assigned to the original autograph and not extend the faithful renditions of those copies, such as the TR, then we cannot have true inerrancy. And each of us knows that. And it leads to us having inerrancy vacillation. And this type of HIV, having inerrancy vacillation, is very serious. The idea of having inerrancy vacillation is serious. This HIV can cause our Bible study and Christian walk to lose vitality. The doubt caused thereby can just drain the life out of our Bible study. When we doubt that we do have the revealed Word of God, much of the urgency to study is gone. Much of what we need to see about the Word of God can replace this desire to find out what the Reverend Dr. Little D.D. had to say about the Word. That's his famous commentary of 1662. You remember the lazy preacher's guide to looking spiritual after you were having to resort to prayer? By the way, comedy, the commentary is in that old, probably pretty good, 1562. But how much better to study the words of God as they speak to us anew than to live on someone else's secondhand blessing? It's been said, you know, we don't walk the Christian walk when we walk by ourselves. Someone said, God don't got no lone rangers. Commentaries are good things. I'll take all I can get. But we can't even walk. We crawl pitifully if we don't read and trust His Word for ourselves. But there's worse. This HIV, having an errors of isolation, can lead to the condition, if we persist in using these deviant perversions, of being always in deviant study. And this type of AIDS is a real soul killer. Not only our own souls are battered by the disease, so too are those of our congregations and pastors, as they set before us to hear the words of the Lord. Sin brings consequence. As we have firmly assumed the office of pastor, our own sin brings consequence to the people we purport to serve. It, if I may use the net dramatic equivalent rather than paraphrase, is a prayerful thing to cause others to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31 doesn't exactly say that, but I think it's a scriptural principle. It is true that modern perversions, and probably to an extent it is true, that all the doctors are there, you just have to look a little harder to find them, that our study tends, as we look at the historic church doctrines, because, for example, we're not going to see the doctrines right out front where we can find them. We have to find them probably in a church manual and then go looking for them. But if we do it that way, study becomes study. I can study history. I can study, well, I was going to say English, but I can study almost anything. Time to shut up almost. Okay. But my study within the Bible is a dialogue with deity. That's what I really need. If I go to my study and pour over His Word and pray over His Word and prostrate my soul over His Word and probate my will to the court of His Word and prophesy enough of the words He giveth, if I do all these things, I might just be able to go to the pulpit in His power and give forth to His people a word to those who stand in need of spiritual recreation. If instead I go to my study, look at the clock and realize it's about 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night, you know. If instead I go to my study and think, I'd like to talk on, with the emphasis on the I, if I go to my study and find, for instance, the doctrine of hell, to find the doctrine of hell, but I can't find it because I have a deviant perversion, and believe that hell is too harsh a word for my physical book. That believes hell is too hard to get the book. If I go to my study and I can't find hell in there to study it because the version doesn't have it, I might give up on studying for it. If I train myself to believe that my emphasis on my study is the most important thing in my emphasis on my preaching, then I've injected too much mind in the pulpit meant for the message of Almighty God. This injection brings stagnation, prison, and disease. Disease may not be readily apparent, so given time, straying away from complete reliance on the words that God has given, the condition worsens if we can say a spiritual drift towards apostasy. That's what's so insidious about the disease of being always in deviant study. It's creating such a life affirming act. Study of the supposed Bible of these nefarious perversions. It's not the study. It's that which is guiding and misguiding our study. Fidelity to the old man's wedding ring is his guard against social disease. Fidelity to the true word of God is the only guard we got against the many and malicious spiritual diseases. Never forget that we, members of the blood-bought band called Christian, are the bride of Christ. I'm not a medical doctor. I make no claim to understand the medical condition known as AIDS. My understanding is that killed by attacking the white blood cells which protect humans from disease. Therefore, other diseases come along, finding one unprotected and causes death. So what a pretty picture this is of virgin deficient perversions. What they give to the spiritual life of those who use them. The very Bibles which we accept, Christian people accept, hold them close to God, become the aid to draw them further and further from Him. That is all my time. I just remind you of one thing as I leave. You can't fill a book by its cover, especially if it says Holy Bible.